Before we get rolling, a few things to share. If you like the show, please leave a 5-star review wherever you consume podcasts. If you don't like the show, well, just keep it to yourself, or you can just tell me directly. Feel free to follow the Instagram account at GrowAFanBase. Really trying to work on some behind-the-scenes content, snippets from some of these shows, etc. And I'm trying to get more consistent with guests. The goal is to release a new interview every other week, and on the other weeks, release a shorter show called Playbook, where I share some of my own stories, takeaways from these longer interviews, and marketing knowledge to hopefully help you grow your own fan base. All right, on with the regular intro. Well, welcome back to the Grow a Fan Base podcast, where I interview people from all walks of life who have in some shape or form grown their own fan base. Now, a fan base doesn't have to be a million followers or even thousands. 100 loyal followers, in my opinion, counts as a fan base. Today, I have a 15 plus year TV veteran. She's done everything when it comes to television. Raleigh people might remember her as the host of My Carolina Today, and those living in Charlotte know her as the host of Good Day Charlotte. I have the better half, Jake, of the failing power couple as my guest today. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Paige Failing. Now, a little forewarning on this episode. Right before we started, Paige had a little technical difficulty with her computer. Her Chrome hadn't been updated in like 17 years, so we were about 100 updates away from her being able to use her computer and mic and everything. So we had to switch her over to the phone. So audio kind of goes in a little here and there, which is fine. I also forgot to select my microphone while we were kind of getting everything figured out and helping her. Forgot to set my microphone up too. So we did the best we could. It is still a wonderful episode. And also, she told me right as we started to record, she goes, "Hey, is this a bad time to tell you that I have a hard stop in like 25 minutes? I got to go to the doctor's appointment." So all that being said, she still crushed it. It's still a wonderful episode. I appreciate her coming on so much. I do hope you enjoy my conversation with Paige Failing. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Grow a Fan Base podcast. There was a movie that I watched, and it was a Saturday Night Live skit, The Ladies Man, and he would always come on and he would go, "Oh, it's a lady." And this is the first lady that I've had, a female, on the show, and I could not think of anyone better to have as the first time female guest than the better half of the Failing duo. I have Paige Failing with me today. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm better now. I don't think I've ever been introed with a reference to an SNL sketch. I love that.
Well, hey, there's a first time for everything. I know. So literally, Paige just told me right before we hit record, she goes, "Hey, bad time to tell you that I have a 20-minute hard stop."
So, 30-minute.
It's 2:47. If we didn't troubleshoot your computer for 20 minutes, we would be.
Well, I said I was truly like, no more appropriate thing could happen than for me to have a huge tech hiccup before something, because I love that you've already interviewed Jake for your podcast, because now you can't trash me with him when he comes on to tell you that that is the story of working with me or living with me, is that something will always go wrong. And if it's techy, I will not know how to fix it.
Oh, well, you know what? Hey, I'm just happy you're here. So, all right. So for the next 25 minutes, we're going to crush this podcast. Now, I asked a couple of my friends who know both of you, if they could sit down with Paige, what would they ask? And just to be quite honest with you, I'm going to clear the air. The one thing everybody wanted to know, who spends more time in the bathroom working on their hair, you or Jake?
I mean, I think the answer to that is pretty obvious. Anyone who's ever met my husband or seen his hair wall, that thing, he did not wake up like that, Will. That takes time.
That's not God-given.
It is not. I mean, I guess the base of it is God-given. Like, he's got an amazing head of hair to work with, but that he's got the round brush going. He's got the dry bar, super expensive hair dryer. If you look, I wish like I would take you with me if I could with my phone. Our bathroom, his setup is like he's got the holder on the wall for the hair dryer. He's got his products laid out. Like I do my hair at his hair station, not the other way around.
Oh, somehow I kind of maybe already knew that. Like just knowing him and knowing, I mean, the guy never has a hair out of place. So now we know. Mm-hmm. Now we know his routine. Okay. Let's get into the real stuff. So you spent close to 15 years on air as an anchor, host of various shows on TV. And now you may remember this or not, but you were the only person to ever call me out on TV for stealing, which I had no idea.
By the way,
one of your segment names, I used to do a little YouTube show called The Scoop. We won't get into all that, but I'm over it. I hope you are too. But I remember went on air and you basically called me out on TV and threw me up there. I loved it. But so that's, you know, that's not really what I want to talk about. But what I want to talk about.
You're clearly over it. You're totally over it.
I know. I no hard feelings by any means. But what was it like having to be quote unquote on every single day? Like, how did you mentally prepare for that?
That's a good question. Honestly, the mental preparation part of it was a combination of the mental preparation for the stories and the news that comes with it and just literally the physical preparation for it. Because I did a morning show. So for when I was in Raleigh, we were in Raleigh for about 8 years and in Charlotte for about 8 years in terms of the TV portions. And for a large chunk of that, it's always been morning show. So I've woken up at 1:57 in the morning.
1:57?
Yeah, because I like to snooze. I like to say a little bit before 2 allowed me to snooze until about 2:15. 2:15 was get out of bed because you got to get into the station.
Yeah.
So it was that. And then it was, you know, when you're an anchor, and only the second portion of my career was as a news anchor. Before, I did everything. I did traffic. I did web reporting. I hosted a daytime show. I mean, I did kind of a variety of different things.
You were on, what was it, My Carolina Today, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, you remember the names of stuff.
Between, like, Good Morning America and Jerry Springer. Like, all, and I actually went on that show for a while. I was, like, the tech expert. Yeah, they gave me a spot because all the stay-at-home moms need to know all of the apps that are being developed in Raleigh. That was my thing. I'd come on, I'd talk about, like, you know, Justin Miller's wed pics and all that. And yeah, I went on. Alex Butler was who was on that show at the time and connected. And yeah, so we've been on the same show.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I don't even know Alex Butler. See, that's how, like, how much turnover there is.
We're old. That's why we're old now.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. So yeah, there's the preparation for what's coming, but there's also the preparation for just sort of like the wake up. The wake up was the worst part of it because the actual wake up itself, to me, I'm a morning person. That was never hard. It was the night before of the dreadies, right? Where it gets to be like 7:30, you get the kids down and then you get dinner's done or whatever the case is, or the kids aren't down. And then that's when you start to stress. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's 7:30, nice. 7:45. They need to get down so I can get to sleep, because if I don't get to sleep soon, I'm not going to get enough sleep. And then I'm going to be tired tomorrow. And then I'm going to be, you know, my brain's not going to work well enough to ask questions. The anchoring part of it, when it's just news, reading news stories that are written for you by producers, you know, you tweak them, you edit them some, that's the easy part. But doing interviews where you really feel like you want to be on and you have to be kind of mentally with it, that's where it does get a little challenging. And the prep part was hard to kind of be on. But to me, the hardest part was always the night before, the prep for it.
I can't even imagine. I mean, I would get stressed thinking like, well, like you said, like 7:45, 8 o'clock, 8:30. Mm-hmm. Like, dang, my time is ticking and ticking and ticking to get decent sleep.
Yes.
So you've got now close to like 10,000 followers on Instagram, a couple thousand on LinkedIn. Would you say that being on TV was one of the main driving forces and factors for how you grew a fan base? Or maybe was it through your other ventures like the Date Night podcast and all the other shenanigans that you and Jake do?
It has to be kind of a combination of everything, I would say, right? Like, I'm not one who looks at the back end. I'm sure that will surprise you, Will, after our tech issues that we just had in terms of even just updating my Chrome. I don't typically look at the back end in terms of where are leads coming from and where are people finding me and how does this happen? So that's, but I will say, just anecdotally speaking, in terms of what I hear from people in DMs or when I meet people in person, it truly feels like it's a combination of people who say they found me on social media from watching me on TV. And then also a lot of people go, they follow me on social media and then they'd go, oh, I didn't know you were also on TV because I, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
So it just kind of depended. I will say this. Well, first of all, it's funny that you, I mean, I guess any fan base is a fan base, but my following is quite small compared to most people who make a business out of having any kind of a following. You know, I certainly don't qualify as any sort of influencer status or numbers that you would typically see from someone who runs a business from the numbers that they, you know, that are on social media. But because of what I did in TV, when I left TV, do you want me to give you kind of a quick background of sort of what I did and what I do now?
Let's do it.
That people understand. So I was in TV, as you mentioned, I was in TV for about 15, 20 years, depending on how you define it, off air, on air, et cetera. Excuse me. And I left, I did hosted a morning show most of the majority of that time. And then I left to start my own business where now I do professional development training in the communication space. And I do keynote speaking myself and I MC events. So those are the sort of three main buckets. And when I decided I was going to leave TV to do that, I sort of started laying the groundwork for putting feelers out about that. I had always MC'd events, but then I started to provide content at events also. So I think that helped me greatly in that when I left TV, it was always forward facing, always public facing, whether it was on TV or on social media, right? But when I left, it's not like people went, oh, wait a second. Now we're going to see you in this whole different light. Oh, now you're going to be someone who stands in front of us and gives us content. Like, that's what I always had done. It was just in a different medium. So I think that probably for sure helped the type of business I wanted to launch. You know, if I had wanted to launch a necklace selling business, that would have been like, oh, that's a totally different thing for you. But it was a similar genre. It was just on my own instead of being on TV. So I think that helped me.
And I mean, I would say to your point about, you know, 10,000 followers and not what you would expect for somebody that's like running a business off of the people that follow you. You know, I mean, I always say like, yeah, a fan base is all sorts of sizes, right? I mean, if you do the math, if you've got 100 loyal people that spend $1,000 with you a year, right? Or, you know, I mean, or 10,000 or whatever it may be, you've got a decent sized business. And I mean, it doesn't matter if you've got a couple hundred thousand people. I think what I've noticed about both you and Jake is that you have a very like localized audience, right? I mean, it's probably very heavily influenced with Charlotte followers now, now that y'all been there, what, close to 8 or 9 years now. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that certainly helps, you know, because a lot of the things that you guys are involved in, you're heavily involved in the community and everything that you guys have going on. I'm sure feeds the business that you do now, right? So,
although most of my business is out of Charlotte,
really,
mm-hmm. because well, now
scratch everything I just said.
Yeah, sorry. No, but you're probably right. I mean, a lot of my followers were there, but now, so what I do now is I speak somewhere. If there's, you know, if it's a conference that people have come in from all over the country, if someone's there and they go, oh, I liked what you just said, come do it for my company, they might have come in from Houston. They might have come in from San Diego. You know what I mean? So then it ends up expanding. Now, then they start following me on social media because that's the best way to keep in touch, or via my website or what have you. But I would love more business in Charlotte only because it would keep me from being on the road, which I love to travel some, but it's nice to also just be able to drive to a place and come back, you know, same day. So when I say my business comes from my social media, I guess I mean I was surprised by how useful social media was to me to get leads at first, because I didn't expect to get business there because I've never treated it as a business source. You know, I never really did the influencer thing. I've done a little bit of that here and there as people have sort of approached me about it, but that's not really my business model. So I was surprised by how many people reached out and just shot me a DM and were like, hey, now that you're doing this, can you come talk to my company, or what would it look like for you to come do a workshop with us, or things like that?
Well, what was the aha moment? I mean, you're in TV for 15, 16 years or 20, you know, give or take, you know, how you want to frame like what you were doing, but you know, you're waking up, you're doing all that. Like, what was the, hey, I want to go do something not completely different, but taking your skill set of speaking and hosting and emceeing and professional development and communication in general, right? Like, and all that experience that you had on TV, now taking it over into more of the corporate world, going out on your own. Was there ever sort of that, like, yeah, light bulb, like, I'm going to go do this?
Yeah. And it was when I was 18 years old before I even went to college, thinking that's what I wanted to do. Because I had grown up, my mom and my grandmother were both professional development trainers. So okay. I grew up since I was literally 12 years old going to class with them, sitting in the back of their classes, doing their flip charts, and then eventually helping them start to teach also. So that's what I thought I would always do. I thought I would go to college and then start doing that. After college, I ended up going into the Peace Corps for a couple of years, which was a whole, you know, separate series of podcast stories.
We don't have time for that.
No, exactly. I already told you my out, right? Exactly. So I'm turning my volume off. Hold on. There we go. One of my kids is texting me. I love, by the way, I listened to a couple of your episodes to have a clue, like what goes on here. And I love that your daughter was like homesick playing an instrument one day. I was like, oh, where this fucking
ball? Oh, yeah. So I film everything in the garage, and her bike over here next to me has like the little horn on it. And she was like, wanted so much attention. And Nick and I had literally been like trying to schedule something for like 5 months, and oh yeah, she's over here blowing the air horn. And I mean, I was like, you know what? I'm leaving it in. Like, it's part of it. I'm leaving it in.
It's real life.
It's right.
So all of that to say, I sort of fell into a TV career that I loved. I felt like I was paid to go to work and hang out with my best friends for, you know, much of my career in TV. But I knew that I always wanted to do this at some point. And I'm not a rule follower. I don't like to have a boss. I really, like, to an unreasonable level, resented having to ask off for vacation days or work on snow days. And I get, that's part of the deal, right? It is what it is. But I was like, I know that I don't have to, I can make money doing something that I really enjoy this much and helping people. And I can be in charge of my own schedule and my own everything. So it just kind of all converged into one at the right time. Our kids were old enough to where they were past those like in the weeds. How old are your kids now? You have two girls, right?
6 and 4, boy and girl, but yeah.
Boy and girl, okay. Yeah. 6 and 4. Okay, so you're still kind of in the weeds a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting there.
But I don't see as many or any anymore pray for Jake posts, right? Like, I remember when he would put those up and you're like off, you know, in the morning and gone, and he's like, pray for Jake. And oh yeah. And the hair was like straight up. Right. And, you know, he was all stressed out. So yeah, I mean, as they get older, the challenge changes, but they get a little bit more easier to manage a little bit. So you are able to go and take some of those, you know, risks and do different things. What is the biggest problem that you help companies solve?
Communication is my overarching theme and umbrella over everything. So that plays out practically when you talk about companies who have people that they need to literally be able to communicate better with each other, whether that's one-to-one, one-to-some, or one-to-many. So that's everything from bringing me in to helping people coach them on their presentation skills. If they have employees who will be customer facing and client facing, that they just need to be a little more polished and put together. That's one of my favorite things to do, is like a presentation skills workshop. But also, as far as when it comes to speaking at an event, I really consider myself, Will, almost an employee retention tool, because everybody has events, everybody brings in speakers, everybody needs educational elements to it. And let's be honest, a lot of those times and a lot of the content that is presented often makes you want to poke a hot stick through your eye. It's so boring. If if it's technical, it's just not that interesting. And I can guarantee this. If I come to your event, your people, they will enjoy the time together. They will have a good time that afternoon, that lunch and learn that day, that session, whatever it is. And they will learn at least 3 things that they can implement into their lives that day to be better at their jobs and to be better at their whole lives.
I love it. And I can tell you, having worked at multiple places, everybody needs Paige Failing to come talk to their company.
And oh,
I mean, it is just people being able to communicate in a meeting or do presentations in front of like an executive team. I mean, I can't tell you how many times people have just absolutely just been sweating bullets to go talk, you know, to like the executive leadership team and stuff that people know, like the back of their hand, right? But they just get so, you know, it's funny, like Jerry Seinfeld does a whole bit about public speaking and funerals. And he said the number one fear is actually speaking. The number two is death, right? So you would rather be in the casket than up doing the eulogy, right? Like that's how like people hate it. But it's such a skill that everybody needs. And honestly, like I get nervous every time I record these because it's talking with somebody, it's conversing, it's carrying on. And my brain goes to, okay, while my guest is talking, I need to think about how do I transition to the next thing, right?
But it's learnable, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing, right? It's like, how much better do you feel? This is episode what? 7, 8?
8. Yep. 8.
So this is how much better episode 8 do you feel than you felt on episode 1?
Oh, and immensely better. I mean, I still don't know what I'm doing, but I do know that like I've gotten better at it. I can go back and I hate listening to them, but I have to listen to them when I edit them. And I can tell, like, I know how to like carry on a little bit better and stuff like that. So yeah, it's very coachable. And I think the more, this is like anything, right? The more people do it, the better, hopefully they get at it. Mm-hmm. But all right, you've got 5 minutes until a doctor's appointment. So so I have my notes here.
Not until the appointment, just until the commute for the appointment. You probably won't drive with me.
We can. We've done weirder things. So, now where does it go from here? I mean, your company, right? Your business, you've been what, 2.5 years into this?
Wow. Good job. Yeah.
Yeah, I did my homework. And you've talked at Wells Fargo, Paul Mitchell, Volvo, NASCAR, Alex Rodriguez, like, which is incredible. So if you had a crystal ball, where do you see Paige Failing the brand in like 5 years from now?
I am right now exploring the whole world of the like funnel and the journeys and all the businessy terms of how to get people to stick with you, right, through all of that.
Yeah. So
I have an online course out right now. It's my first online course. It's called Present Like a Pro. It is an hour and a half of content broken up into 18 different modules, everywhere from 3 minutes to 15 minutes. So it's a really palatable way to get a good base for anyone who wants to improve their presentation skills right now. But either their company is not bringing me in to do a workshop or they're not able to be in person for one. It's a great way to sort of dip your toe in and learn that on your own and be able to practice. You know, it comes with a free downloadable workbook that kind of walks you through everything. So I loved doing that. I love the accessibility that gives people because it can literally reach anyone anywhere at any time. And I made my first hire last fall. I have an assistant now who's somewhere between my assistant and my boss. Right. I want her to kind of just, she's helping sort of chief of staff things and help direct what needs to go where. But really, I mean, I just, you know, content wise, I'm wanting to just help people sort of embrace the idea that communication is learnable and that communication is, I come at it and now I have this new concept that I got inspiration from a book called Unreasonable Hospitality. It's by Will Gadara. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's from the restaurant industry, but he has a lot of principles that apply to the business world. And he references a book by Danny Meyer, his former partner, who wrote a book called Setting the Table. And Danny Meyer talks about athletic hospitality being hospitality with a mindset, a winning mindset. So you take things that you're doing well and you want to continue to do them well. And you take things that you're not doing well and you play defense. So you figure out something wasn't dropped right at this table. How can we make it better? So with communication, I like the athletic communication mindset. Going into every communication interaction with the idea that you can win it. But here's the twist. Within athletic communication, the person or people with whom you are communicating are not your opponent. You are communicating are your teammate. So you go into any communication interaction going, how can this be a win for both of us? And that mindset just helps people get where they want to go with any conversation, whether it's a debate that they're talking politics with someone or whether they are going on to do a TED Talk or a presentation at work. And it just sort of puts a more positive mindset spin on how you're approaching those interactions in general.
So your phone broke up just a little bit, but I think I picked up, I'm going to just reiterate it just in case, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but basically treating communication not as like a competitor or your opponent, but more of your teammate, right? So then it allows for that spin to be a little bit more, we're on the same page or we're trying to do this together instead of against each other.
Yes. So if I were to relate it to something, by the way, you paraphrased that beautifully well, good job. If I were to relate it to youth sports, do your kids play sports?
We tried soccer for Henry, and that's a no-go on soccer. And we're gonna do t-ball this spring. And I already asked him. I said, "You pump for t-ball?" And he looked at me dead in the eyes and goes, "I hate t-ball." So hey, that's gonna be fun.
So you're off to a great start. Yeah. Well, you experienced soccer long enough to probably experience this, which is what I call a viewing fee. And anybody who's ever been to a youth sport or a sporting event in general has experienced this. So you have the sideline here, right? In front of you is the sideline. And the first person who gets there always sits at the middle of the field as close as they can to the sideline of the field, which means anybody else who comes has to sit back and they can't see past that person. They can't see what's going on the other side of the field. And they also can only see the people between them and that person who's in the middle, who's at the front. So if this person in the middle would just move back to make a V on the side of the sideline, then everybody who's sitting here to the left and right of them, I'm trying to describe it, not just visual, so people just listening to the podcast can still make sense. But if you're sitting downfield from someone in the viewing bee, you can still see the whole field because they're sitting back far enough for you to see. So in communication, the same thing is true. If you go into a conversation or any kind of communication interaction with like a arms open wide, I can see what's in front of me on both sides. I can hear what everybody's saying. I'm not blocking anybody's view. I'm not trying to take the lead here and tell everybody kind of what we're doing, but you're sort of going into it, making room for everybody to be a part of the conversation. That's a great starting point for everyone to get what they need out of that interaction.
Well, this has been the most informative 25 minutes of my entire life with this podcast. That is wonderfully put. I mean, if you right, like, so visually, that person in the middle, if they're back, everyone else can see instead of straight up in the middle and nobody can see around them, right? So same thing, going into conversation with sort of that whole, I guess it'd be like almost a 180 type of view, right? It's not 360, then you turn all the way around, but like, you know, 180 view and just like open-minded and everyone's on the same and just, I love it.
Especially, okay. Especially Will, in a year like this, this is an election year and a lot of conversations can get very heated for apparently no reason. People jump to all these conclusions. And I think that's part of why I left and why I wanted to leave news is because I got into news because I wanted to bring people together. I think it's so important to be informed and to know what's going on in your world around you and in your community. And that's what news can do to know what's going on, to be informed, should do that. And I felt like it was getting to where instead we were putting quote unquote news out there. And I say quote unquote because it became news to say what someone commented on someone's Facebook post or what nasty comment someone made about whoever or whatever video or whatever happened. And to me, that I just felt like instead we were tearing people apart. So I went, you know what? I want to do my own thing where I can sort of help control the narrative a little bit more directly and help people use communication to connect, not use communication to disconnect.
Oh, yeah. It's certainly an instigating, industry now, right? I mean, it's all just playing both sides. And yeah, I don't care what Sarah Joe said on someone's Facebook page. No one cares, right? But evidently people do.
Right.
Okay, you've got to go to a doctor's appointment. But before you leave, where can people find you online? I mean, if I want Paige to come talk at my company, hit them up with the details of where they can find you.
Yeah. So my website is just pagefailing.com, all one word. And Paige is spelled P-A-G-E, just like Paige in a book. Failing is F like Frank, E-A-L-I-N-G.com. And it looks like feeling or felling, but it's pronounced failing, just like failing a test. On Instagram and all of the socials, I'm just at Paige Failing, all one word. So pretty simple to find.
And can we just, one last thing, clear the air? I'm assuming the reason why you went by Crawford for the longest time on air is because you didn't really want to say failing on air. Hey, I'm Paige Failing, and that's the news for today.
Can I tell you, too, when I switched to starting using my married name when Jake and I were down here because he and I started doing so much stuff together, like on the podcast and things, and it was just easier to Yeah. Because in real life, we always had the same last name. Anyway, so I went to my station management. I said, can I start using my married name? And I did. And then I walked by one of our producers at work, and I heard them whispering. They go, so Paige, you got to change all her supers because she's going to use Failing now. And the other one went, oh, I'm so, okay, is Paige getting a divorce? And I was like, it's the exact opposite. I'm finally, after 15 years of marriage, I'm finally acknowledging that I'm
married. I'm actually accepting that I'm married to the guy and taking his name after 15 years. I love it. I love it. Paige, we're going to have to do round two because I know that there's so much more that we can talk about. Thank you so much for coming on. Again, you are the better half for sure, even though, you know, you have tech problems and all that good stuff. But we still love you. But seriously, in all seriousness, thank you so much for coming on. I do wish you all the best success as you continue to grow your fan base. You're already killing it. If you're not following Paige on the socials, get on LinkedIn. She crushes it with all of her videos. She gives daily tips, right? Like you try to film videos just about every day.
I see them daily.
Okay. I feel like I see them daily. So that's great. All right. You got to go. Everyone else, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next time.